Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's Mental Health Awareness Week, and the theme this year is body image. As well as being a driving force behind our I Am Whole campaign, YMCA also run the Be Real campaign. The Be Real campaign aims to change attitudes to body image and build a body confident nation. So for Mental Health Awareness Week, we thought we'd bring these amazing YMCA campaigns together for two special episodes of the Whole Truth podcast. Here's the second one with Be Real ambassador Nicole Moses. Enjoy. The Whole Truth podcast here. I want to say that this podcast is with fantastic Nicole Moses, who's here now. You are a body positivity activist. Is that what you'd say?
I probably would say I'm more of a body confidence activist because I'm still on my journey to finding body positivity.
Right, of course. Yeah. Okay, yeah. you talk about body size, self-esteem, and you have quite a good following online. And I'm very happy to be sitting in front of you.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
My name is Jordan Stevens. I've been doing this Whole Truth podcast for a little bit now. And all of this is birthed basically from my own journey as well, my own search. I love talking to people because I'm trying to figure everything out, you know. I think what I like to do with the podcast is create a space where just little moments or openness is provided on this platform in a way that listeners can hear and feel a sense of relativity or not feel alone, you know. The whole idea of whole is a circle.
Yeah.
Not a perfect circle.
Mm-hmm.
An imperfect circle. It surprises me. I think we always underestimate what our honesty can do for people.
It's true.
Means a lot to me as well. Body image. I'm sure we'll get on to discuss each of our own little ideas or where it all started for us. But I myself have actually struggled with that from a different perspective. I really want to hear your story. So the first question I got for you is how you became involved with body confidence.
Mm. So if I go from the very beginning, I would say 2015, I think I was probably at my heaviest.
Right.
And I lacked a lot of confidence.
And what do you mean by heaviest?
In weight.
Right.
So I weighed the most I've ever been. Yeah.
Okay, right.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I did last year, but yeah, we'll get to that.
No, I feel you're saying.
So I weighed the most in 2015. I started wearing leggings a lot, baggy tops and whatnot. And I just wasn't confident. And everyone thought, I've got a big personality. I'm really confident and really bubbly, but I hid it very well. And it got to the end of the year and I thought, I need to do something about this. So I found an event called Miss Curvaceous, and I saw that they did a body confidence workshop, and I thought, oh, this is cool. And so I went up to Birmingham, didn't know anybody, stayed in a hotel on my own, went to this event, got a lot from it, and then it turned out to be a modeling competition at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, this is different. So I had all black on, had stilettos, did a little catwalk, and I was loving it. I love that environment. I love that the girls kind of shared their experiences about lack of body positivity, lack of confidence, and how they kind of overcome that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of started from there, really. I started to follow people on Instagram, started to look for women I can basically affiliate with and, you know, resonate with and whatnot. And then I started doing photo shoots, entered a beauty pageant. I know. Everyone's like, wow.
What so do you I mean? Entered, not at all.
I entered a beauty pageant, a plus size beauty pageant, and I think that's what really helped me. So I met a lot of women who were basically on the journey to finding themselves, learning to love themselves. And we obviously, the main goal of that is to win and get a crown.
Yeah.
But it was more about just getting to know yourself, meeting other women like yourself, finding yourself. And we were all on this journey together. So even though we were all competing, we went to so many different events. We learned about how to love your body and everything like that. And at the same time, it was helping me show how I have overcome or can overcome my body issues. So I had to do speeches, events, appearances, all of my sash and everything like that. And it was really, really good. So I did that for about until July 2016. And then 2017, I did another pageant. And then since then, I've just been doing modelling and now I've become an influencer. And throughout those years, I've been up and down with my image, body image issues, body confidence has been up and down. This year, I probably have gone backwards a little bit in terms of my confidence in terms of the last 3 months, but now I'm kind of getting back to where I was. But it's been a crazy journey because modelling, although it's got the positive connotations, negative connotations attached to it, it helped me. So doing photo shoots, doing catwalks was like a therapy for me. So being on that stage, as much as it's frightening, I loved it. I got like such a buzz from it.
Yeah.
People were cheering me on and it made me feel good that I can stand there in my skin and be like, you know what, I'm proud of myself. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it for the petite plus size women.
Yeah.
And it just makes me feel really, really good. But out of it, there's other things that you can do and it involves, you know, talking about your experiences and how you've come to this place.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting journey for me.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I love that story. And I think what I can't help but feel is that feeling of it's like maybe acceptance or you know, just even applause in that context.
Yeah.
What was it in life or society or your environment that would have led to you feeling like you weren't receiving applause? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. 2015, what happened that year? I can't even remember now. I work in social care, so it's very stressful anyway.
Right.
So there was that. Oh, yes, I remember now. Here we go. So that year was very stressful at work. And I think at the beginning of the year, I started to binge on McDonald's.
Right.
So I would say I had an addiction for a good year, maybe. And I would literally go from one McDonald's to the next because I would have finished it, really enjoyed it and wanted more and brought some more. Right. Gone home, had some more dinner. And then I'll do that maybe once or twice a week. And that's where the weight gain started. But it was more comfort eating rather than, oh, yeah, this is really nice. And then it got to a point where I thought, gosh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And by then I had really put on a lot of weight and not realised I did. It was only when I put on certain clothes, looked at pictures. And I'm from a Caribbean background. I'm half Dominican, half Jamaican. Mm. And in the Caribbean, you can either be praised for being big or you can be scrutinised and whatnot for being your size. But unfortunately, my dad's side of the family, they kind of, well, it's kind of a bit of both on both sides, but there's always those key relatives who always have something to say.
Yeah.
And I just had enough, you know, and I thought, you know, rather than me thinking, well, I need to lose all the weight, I'm going to try and find a way to love myself the way I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick and tired of being called fat or you need to lose some weight or you looked good when.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I've had enough of this.
But who has the right to say that?
I know. But it's something I have to put up with. I've put up with it since I was a young child, from the time I started puberty up until now. And now I've got to the age where I can actually answer back. obviously not in a rude way, but I try and answer back. And it's not just me sticking up for myself, but it's for others as well, because a lot of people I take pictures with, sometimes someone might make a comment and say, oh, wow, yeah, she's a big girl. But I say, actually, but she's confident and happy with how she is.
Right, which is another reason why you know, social media is big on the agenda.
Yeah.
You mentioned comfort eating.
Mm.
I think, you know, I think a lot of people will understand that urge, that desire. It really is, it's like, I don't know, I get it.
Mm, yeah.
And that feels as though that's quite a big link between mental health and body image.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, do you have any more thoughts on that? Is it that simple that actually, struggling with your mental health can often?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think the food is a big part of my life. I love food. I've even made a new page on Instagram with food on it. Yeah. So I think it's a big thing for me because I would eat when I'm not hungry. And back then I would just eat and eat for the sake of it. And I would secret eat as well.
Right.
Yeah, stress.
And that's from stress from your work as a social carer.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it was just down to that. Sometimes it would be down to boredom, right. You know. And even though sometimes you've got people in your life who you can rely on, sometimes you can still feel alone. So I would replace all of those things and all those feelings with food.
Right.
You know, and then was a time a couple of years prior to that, I was making myself sick, thinking I can make myself smaller.
Oh, no.
And I've never really actually spoken to anyone about that. And it's only until maybe the last year and a half. Obviously, I know it's an eating disorder and, you know, things like that. But I think it's the denial element that I've kind of thought, oh, yeah, it's not mental health. It's just something that you deal with. But a lot of the time there's a label to everything, but I think I've always kind of tried to stay away from the labels because I didn't want to, because it scares you. And my mum suffers with mental health as well. So I think I've always had to try and be a strong person to be her carer. So there's that element of it as well. But plus I'm dealing with my own side of things and then I've got my job.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So it's a lot of things, but I've been able to kind of be resilient and deal with them. But, it's just taken a lot of time to kind of get to this place where I've realised, actually, this is what was going on. I think I'm in love with a singer, yeah, but I want to get richer.
Life threw me a bag of lemons, no wonder I'm bitter. And then since then, with that wondrous applause and feeling of not being isolated, did you feel more connected?
Yeah, I felt really connected to people. And also I changed who I hang around with. So I was around people who are like-minded like myself, full of energy, full of life. Women who I found that I was inspired by.
Right.
And then I started to inspire others. And that's what made me think I can't stop doing what I'm doing. I have to keep doing it.
That's such a powerful thing to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do. So what would you say would be like the tent poles of since that point, since discovering that community, would you say mental health has improved? Would you say that do you have coping mechanisms now that have come out of that experience?
I think so. I think the one thing I've learned is that you're not on your own and that people can see through you.
Mm.
Because a lot of the time I might not know that I'm not okay, but my friend might notice.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you know. And then just recently, one of my friends said, you have to check on your strong friends.
Yeah.
And then she asked me how I was.
Yeah,
and I said, actually, I'm not
thing.
Okay. And I was like, what makes you think I'm a strong friend? And then she said, oh, because of how I come across, how I act. And for some reason, she kind of sensed that something wasn't okay. So I said, no, actually, for the past few months, I haven't been okay. I've been on the journey again. And it was nice that someone actually recognised that, because other people who I'm really close to have no idea still that I was going through whatever I was going through this year. They may haven't know a snippet that, okay, yeah, you're not okay, but you're moving on.
Yeah.
But it's having that deep conversation with that one person that can really make you wake up and realise that actually you're going through something they may have experienced, and actually you do need to speak to someone about it, not just bottle it up, which is what I do a lot of the time,
right.
Because I'm seen as that strong friend, I guess.
It's the toughest position to be in. I've definitely been in that position.
Yeah.
But
to answer the question, I would say making sure that I surround myself with those people on just very often. So I try and make sure that I see the same people in rotation. So there could be maybe four friends who I might see maybe that 1 month or the next month or every 2 months. Right, and actually, right. even though I've only met them in the last 2-3 years, we're really close. And because we've met in that community, we've got that connection. We kind of have to stay in contact, yeah. to keep each other buzzing.
It's great.
And it's really, really nice. And sometimes it might just be to meet up, have a chat or have a drink, eat, obviously, yeah. or just find an event to go to. So we try and find a lot of body positive events, a lot of self-love events. And one of my friends from uni as well, she's on the journey as well. And we try and find a lot of things that we can do together because it's not just about helping yourself, it's about helping each other. So we try and do a lot of that. So yeah. we try and keep ourselves busy. I think that's the number one thing, really.
Keeping yourself busy.
Yeah.
What, if you don't mind me asking, what happened 3 months ago?
So there's been a lot going on in my social life with friends, drama, all of that sort of thing. And then I think it came into I went to a couple of events that were very much anti the whole New Year, New Me thing.
Right.
So I can't remember what I was saying now. So I kind of made like this really long post about New Year, same me, but I've still got goals at the same time.
Right.
So it came to like the beginning of the year and I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I had everything planned. I've got a body confidence page that I've been trying to work on for the last 2 years and it hasn't kicked off. So I was like, yes, I'm going to do that this year. Mm. So I had everything in place. I had my goal set. And I think just after the days went by, weeks went by, and I thought, you know what? I can't do this. I can't try and be this big, bubbly person all the time. I need to have time for myself. I need to switch off. I was taking on a lot of other people's issues and it broke me down. Mm. And I then started to go to, I went to a retreat. It was a day retreat.
Yeah.
So I started to get into meditation, yoga, crystals, amazing. Sound healing, yes. sound baths, all of that. So that's now my thing this year. So I've got like loads of new crystals. I've been to mindful living events.
Wicked.
So I've gone to all these events now to try and get myself back.
Yeah.
And it was literally just taking time away from situations and being away from certain people. And I think a lot of the time it's the energy around you that can have a massive impact on how you deal with things. So I've had to I think the whole of January, I kind of distanced myself from a lot of people. And then I tried to go out maybe every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, or if there was something going on, I'll be there. But in terms of in the week, I just wanted me time.
Right.
So I had to really just learn to switch off. Oh, yeah. How you massively. Feel.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So what you're explaining, your own journey, mm-hmm. is it, and the feeling, almost like a calling to share mm-hmm. your knowledge, which I think is really admirable and like, well, more than admirable, inspiring.
Thank you.
Is that what drew you to the Be Real campaign?
The reason why I did join the Be Real campaign, because I think, what year was that then? So 2017, maybe? Yes, I was on holiday, actually.
Nice.
2017, no, it wasn't. Yes, it was, 2017.
I don't think you have to worry about the year. I don't think
but it just helps you remember things,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
So that's when I decided to join the Be Real campaign. At the time, I didn't feel like there was anything going on. There wasn't any campaigns about body confidence, body positivity. There was like things going on with Dove and other little, you know, brands and things like that, but it wasn't accessible. So I joined a B-roll campaign because I wanted to be part of something that was basically what I believed in. Mm. And then I did my own little body confidence Instagram page as well for myself.
Right.
So it started with that, really. And then amongst that, and obviously prior to that, I was following bloggers and things like that on social media,
right.
Who inspired me. I think the number one person I have to obviously give credit to is Kat Henry. Right. She is a very close friend of mine, my pageant sister, my model sister.
Dope.
And she is one of the first people that I followed on Instagram in 2015 when I had my little relapse. And it was her that inspired me to do the modelling, the pageants, everything like that. And she has been doing everything she can possibly do to try and, you know, promote the fact that you can be who you are in the skin you are, the size you are. She's done the Naked Truth on BBC. She's been on Good Morning. Is it even called that anymore? It's not, is it? It's called This Morning.
I don't know.
And she's done big pageants like UK Galaxy. She's also one of the finalists for Miss Great Britain.
Right.
And she's the second plus size model, plus size woman to actually enter. So she's done a lot. So Kat Henry's my number one go-to. My other friend, Alexia, she is also a blogger, fashion blogger on social media. Again, she has a lot of, all her captions will capture you. She talks about body positivity, self-love, her journey.
Are these all plus size body confidence?
Yeah.
Are there influencers and accounts that take into... that include maybe like anorexia or people who struggle in the other way.
I think some of them do.
Not struggle, but yeah, I think
some do because a lot of people have come from that place or they've struggled with bulimia.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time people assume that you can't be plus size and have bulimia because you're big.
Oh.
You know. Right. But there are other women that I have followed, Megan. Body Posy Panda,
right,
and obviously Michelle Solomon, who's going to be coming in to talk after me.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a lot of women out there, and there's a lot of men as well. But I find that there's not many men that talk about body positivity, body confidence. A lot of them are American.
I think that's something I really want to get into a little bit.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one. I think actually for men, it's increasing the.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The effect of an unrealistic body type.
Mm.
I had a brief but really quite bad bout maybe of body dysmorphia.
Mm.
And it's, I think with guys, it's often disguised because it can be an obsession with being in shape.
You know,
I know obviously that can happen for women as well.
Yeah.
I've got a few friends of mine who get into the idea of lean muscle and are like dangerously like just muscle. It kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Think I'm in love with a singer, yeah, but I wanna get richer.
Life threw me a bag of lemons. No wonder I'm bitter. Do you think that the standards are changing for male or female beauty? Do you think there will be a shift? Do you think that you feel less? I mean, have you felt attacked by the beauty standard in a way? Is that initially what led to you feeling as though you were? You used the term heavy.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? You know.
Very interesting question. So I think at the moment I think I'm seeing a shift. Although I did have a mishap with someone on social media a while back because they disagreed. But I think at the moment there's a lot of diversity in media in general in terms of who's being in campaigns, who is on a catwalk. Well, when I say catwalk, I mean like localised ones.
Okay.
Who is, you know, taking part in a body confidence event or... who is at just any event in general, who is promoting clothing. There's a lot of shift in that sense.
Okay, cool.
However, there are clothing brands that will use, let's just talk about women's brands, for example. There are a lot of brands now who will probably they will try and use someone from every ethnicity
right.
to kind of tick that box and say, oh yes, we've got a black woman,
we've got
an Asian lady and whatnot. Yeah.
Mm.
And now they're maybe trying to have a transgender person, someone with a physical disability that is visible,
and
a plus size model. But a lot of people will complain and say, well, actually, the one person who is plus size could be a 14 and or an 18. However, you'll have women who are larger and they'll say, but where are the size 22s and the 26s? But they are now, you know, becoming part of that mainstream. So you've got women like Inam, who has just done a massive shoot with Universal Standard, and she is doing massively great like
things. But there was some kind of the backlash was that as much as being inclusive, mm-hmm. it's important to not overlook the health the implications of well, how do you feel about that?
That winds me up a lot, because whenever someone sees a plus size woman or just anyone that's on either on a larger scale or the smaller scale, they say either you're promoting obesity or right. you're promoting not eating at all. And it's like, you know, what is acceptable? We're trying to show that, you know, this is who we are. We're happy at this size, and we're actually trying to inspire other women who are like us to feel good.
Right. And you people know? Are saying you're not
yeah,
happy.
They're saying that we're promoting obesity.
Right.
You know, oh, how can you do something like that? You know, you should be showing us that you're working out, that you're eating right, but we're showing you that we're happy with the way we look. And even if we're not happy, we're still doing what we can, because at the end of the day, we can only inspire ourselves and push ourselves to do something. Yeah, so I think in the media, you're always going to see what is the average and what is what people out there cast as a norm. You know, it's always going to be in our face. And that's why I don't follow a lot of accounts on Instagram, because I don't want to compare myself to certain people. So I try and follow people that are like me, or people that I can aspire to, or that I'm inspired by. But you're going to have that on Instagram. You're going to have that on Facebook. There's going to be groups. There's always going to be someone who thinks that they're better than you are. And, you know, the best thing to do is to trust and make sure that you don't feel any less than that person. And, you know, with things on TV, we can't help what's put out there, because that's just their way of doing things.
Because I struggle a lot with my mental health thing, as everyone does. I have got so much better at managing it, specifically to my situation. And I found that one thing that really helps me is imagining myself as a kid, you know. So, like, situations that we were talking about before, about being hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if I think like, oh, you know, I had this idea and someone said they didn't like it. And then in my head I go, oh my God, that means that all your ideas are rubbish. Like, no one's ever gonna, you know, like no one's ever gonna fuck you again. Like, that, oh, I'm gonna say. no, you know what I mean? Like, no one's gonna listen to what else you got to say. Like, you didn't have any good, you know, all those, that self-doubt. Yeah. And then you sometimes you just buy into it, you know, you buy into that inadequacy. But then I try and take myself out of it and go like, oh man, if my kid walked in and was like, yo, someone just said that, my idea, I'd be like, it doesn't, you know, there's not a thing to worry about. You're great. You have many more ideas and you're all going to achieve them.
Yeah.
If you were to consider your laziness something that you, I don't know if it troubles, like, I don't know if it troubles you, it might not. If it does, what would you say to yourself? As a kid, you know what I mean? As a kid.
Yeah. I think lazy makes me sound really lazy. So I'm going to say comfortable.
Yeah.
So you can get really, really comfortable in a situation and get really comfortable in a certain routine. And
which is also important routine.
Yeah. But what would I say? I think the number one thing would be to get out of your comfort zone. Because a lot of the time, if you stay in that comfort zone, you're not going to get anywhere else.
Right.
You're going to stay stuck, and you're going to need to branch out and do other things. But if it had to be about, like, you know, what would I tell my younger self about body image, is to don't listen to other people about what they say about your image. You know, you have your own rights, you have your own voice, and make sure that you do what makes you happy at that given time. Do what you enjoy. As long as you're making a sensible and healthy decision, do it. You know, but also forgive yourself.
Yeah.
If you do something that you feel is
like
really
when you said that, I saw when you said that last bit about making a sensible housing decision, you suddenly remember like a decision you'd made like 2 days ago.
I did.
I knew it. I always do that. Yeah, but listen, listen, we have our own standards, but like I'm not for a second going to be able to uphold them all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
So you're saying, but also forgive yourself, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. That is the important thing, as long as it encourages growth.
Yeah, completely.
I suppose. Do you think that...
Give yourself time to heal.
Right. Elaborate.
Yeah, because I find that... So, for example, looking at all the goals that I try to set myself and just saying, oh, yes, 1 month I'm going to go on a retreat. The next month I'm going to be okay. I have to remember that it's a process. And one of my friends, Tanisha Pascal's got a new blog. We kind of had a conversation about body image and whatnot. And she said that people are always talking about finding themselves and, you know, being on the journey of self-love. So she said it's about maintaining your happiness. And I thought, yes, that's a good way of putting it, because actually you already love yourself. But, well, in my case, I do. But because I have that confidence loss sometimes, I'm trying to maintain my happiness. And during that time of maintenance, that's your time of healing. So you're still processing things, you're still learning things, you're still trying to do things that helps you grow. So it's just making sure that you continue to do something and don't just think that, yep, I'm going to reach that level of confidence, that's it, I don't need to do anything else, I don't need to do any more work. You have to give yourself that time.
Yeah. Do you feel as though you've made headway into... approaching the root of why you were drawn to comfort eating in the first place?
I think so,
on like
an
emotional level.
Yeah. There's been a lot gone on over the years. Just being a woman in general, life, boyfriend, work, studying, all of that sort of thing. And you can be pulled from pillar to post and caught up in so many different situations with friends, whoever, whatever it is. But it's just making sure that you don't lose yourself in all of it. And that's something I've learned in the last few months, and even speaking to a friend recently. Don't lose yourself in a situation, because you can get so drawn into something, you don't know who you are at the end of it.
Right.
You feel broken, you feel lost. And the only person that can get you out is yourself.
Are you aware of any celebrities that are kind of positive or negative in this world? I know Jamila Jamil, a friend of mine who I love, she's stepped up with this thing, Ai Wei.
Yeah.
You seen that?
Yeah.
I think it's quite an important space. She's kind of pushed against, what was it, Kardashians and slimming pills.
Yeah.
What's the vibe there? Like, do you think they have a duty to be honest about editing their photos? Do you think that maybe even social media companies have a duty of care to stop those images being seen by young people?
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you think how much they're on censoring, like, nipples. I reckon they should maybe expand a little to...
I think so.
To heavily edited images.
I think it's good when people do tell us that they're editing pictures. I mean, I've seen a lot of people that don't actually have any edits in their pictures. Felicity doesn't edit much of her pictures if she takes them herself, or if it's a photo shoot, then it's different. Mm. You can't really control what the photographer does unless... it's one of those photo shoots that maybe you're paying for or funding. You can maybe say, actually, I want it unedited. But you've got models like Sonny Turner, who likes to do pictures that say Instagram versus reality. Mm. And I quite like that, because it just makes people remember, actually, there is a real person behind that stage picture, you know, and it's really important that is out there. And that's why I signed the Be Real campaign pledge last year, and I got quite a few people to join as well and sign up, because it's making sure that you're putting out there your real self. And that's not just about, you know, editing and things like that. It's just about being you and being honest and being real and open and things like that.
Yeah.
But even my own pictures, some of them, they could be edited, or some, if I have a photo shoot, and some of them aren't. And also, it depends on the lighting. Sometimes you can have a really bright light that can make you look edited, and you're not. But a lot of them, I will take myself, and I don't have editing equipment, but I might use like the odd little brightener on Instagram or sharpen it and things like that. But I try and be as authentic as I can possibly be. And even in my stories, I think people might catch me in my stories a lot of time with my headscarf on and no makeup and stuff like that. So,
ideal.
Yeah. Definitely. So I like the fact that you can be yourself. You can be real. In terms of celebrities, I think there's a lot of them out there that are doing it. However, I think it's more of the influencers on Instagram that have taken that on now. So people are kind of, I would say, less looking up to celebrities and looking up to influencers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Real people, you could argue. All right, Nicole. Right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an opportunity to say anything to parents of boy or girl,
mm-hmm.
who at a young age is just experiencing their own body, what are you saying to that parent about what? Just go. You just go for it. The parent has a responsibility in that moment to look after the child. So what do you say to that parent?
First of all, speak to your child and find out how they feel in general.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, it is a general feeling that can have an impact on how that child might treat themselves,
yeah.
how they might view their body, yeah. how they will treat their body, and also what they eat. Just make sure that you tap into their mind, because a lot of the time you can change how you think, you can change your individual power based on your own mindset. So if they can speak to their children about their feelings, it's always a good place to start. If they see that their child is putting on weight or they might be acting in a way that doesn't seem the norm for them, ask them why, speak to them.
Mm.
But don't do it in front of people. Don't embarrass them. You know, make sure that you're asking questions in a direct way, but not in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable to answer. Because you can ask a child something, they might just say, you know, whatever, yeah, and just leave it like that, and you'll never know what's going on. But just give them time. And if it means trying to do things with them, to try and speak to them, do that. Find out what they enjoy. Make sure that you're doing it because they want to do it and not because you're forcing them to do it. That's another important thing. And if you do want your child to exercise, do something with them that is active. Yeah. Don't let them know that actually I'm doing this for you because you're chubby. That's the term that you use when you're that age. But just ask them if there's anything they want to do.
Yeah.
And if you see other people comment about your child, let them know that you're sticking up for them.
Be on their side.
Yeah. Don't join in. I've got a younger cousin who, she's 13 now. When she was probably 8, she was being sick a lot after eating. And it wasn't that she was, I don't know if she was putting her hands down her throat, but it got to a point where she was doing it so often, she'll just throw up. And when I actually asked her, I said to her, why do you do this? She said, it's because I don't want to be fat. I said, well, who mentioned this to you? She said, well, her grandma said it about her mum. So it made me realise that actually it's not necessarily just your children, it's your grandchildren. All the kids that are around you are listening to what you're saying to somebody else. And that can have a massive knock-on effect to how they think about themselves. So it's just making sure that you're careful about who you're speaking to, who you're saying it around. And if there are children, make sure that you're sending them the right message, because that message can be stuck with them for life and they can continue to believing that until they find themselves.
Yo, Nicole. Powerful AF right there. Thank you so much for speaking to me. I really appreciate it. The Be Real campaign is incredibly important.
It is.
And thank you for spreading your knowledge and message and continuing to, you have an outlook of wanting to grow, and that's really inspiring. I'm sure I'll see you again.
Yeah, I hope so.
Love.
And thanks for having me.
No, my pleasure. Find out more about YMCA and the Be Real campaign at berealcampaign.co.uk. On the website, you'll find loads of amazing information and resources. And make sure you join the campaign this Mental Health Awareness Week by following Be Real approved people like Nicole Moses. That way, your social channels will be a source of inspiration rather than irritation. Freshen up those timelines, yo.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.